it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We've been trying to reach Chris Russell for a while. He was unreachable. We've determined we think it may have been an afternoon delight situation, but the good news now,
oh Lord,
we have reached Chris Russell. It's high noon in the District of Columbia.
What color shirt you have on?
Hello, boys. How are we?
We want to know what color shirt you're wearing.
Where are you, dude?
I am on 395 heading towards the radio station.
Are your windows down?
Are your windows down?
No, I'm on speakerphone though on my Bluetooth, but I can hardly hear you guys. So
that's because you're
what landfill's got to do to boost you guys up, but I can hardly hear you.
That's because you're on that damn speakerphone.
All right, we're gonna persevere, Chris. How are you? How are things?
Things have been better. I'll talk to you guys in person about that. But,
okay.
All right, things have been better.
We don't often want to do this with you, but we actually want to talk football.
Yes, correct. I mean, I haven't been in the good graces of B. Mitch and Finley lately. It's been a while since we've connected.
Well, Russo, we just don't see you most time.
Yeah, dude, we haven't seen you in a while.
True.
We miss you.
That's true.
You know, if JP sees you, just drags you on air.
That's accurate.
That's true. You guys are in Ashburn a lot, so.
I was made aware of a take you had from none other than Eric Bickle this morning. And he said, I don't want to put words in your mouth, so I'll let you explain it. But give us your latest theory on Terry's injury.
Yeah. And listen, it's only a theory. I don't know anything, okay? Besides just trying to use common sense, logic, what have you, which I know is not going to mix well with certain personalities. I get it. But my thing was, I think Terry's legitimately injured. I would never question that. I do believe that Terry in the past has fought through injuries to get on the field and to stay on the field and persevered and put his body in probably harm's way, danger, whatever you want to call it, right? I mean, he missed a game in 2020 and then returned for that division clincher in Philadelphia. Like, I got it. It's not like he's never missed a game before. He missed a couple of games in his rookie season. It's not like he's never missed games before, but my theory is that he is listening to his body more and not pushing it and not maybe trying to run through a brick wall and maybe trying to overextend his body because he stood on his reliability, his availability, his dependability as a big reason why he wanted the big multi 30-plus million dollar salary that others got and that the market kind of sort of dictated. And he fought through it, and all of their public statements were about his availability and dependability and this, that, and the other thing. And now that didn't exactly get rewarded the way he wanted it, I wonder if he's just listening to his body more and saying, hey, I'm not 100%. I'm not going to run through a brick wall. I'm going to get right. And I understand there's incentives in the deal and all that stuff. I got it. He's guaranteed money this year and next year. This isn't about, you know, even 2 years from now when he's not guaranteed money. This is about, hey, man, I don't want to go back after a week or two and pop something else and compromise something else and make it worse. I'm going to listen to my body and I'm going to really take care of my body so that when I'm ready, when I feel I'm 100% or close to, I can go back. And I'm not going to push it like I maybe used to push it because that wasn't appreciated the way I thought it should be.
Do you not think it's just because it's a quad that could completely shut him down and That could be a whole year thing that he decides, I'm going to wait till this thing works. Because you can mess with certain injuries, ankles and stuff like that you can mess with. When it's a quad, you don't want to mess around with that.
I mean, you played at a high level. I never played. I'm a dopey radio host, okay? So, I I'm with you on that. I don't know the exact nature of the injury, and I don't know how much they know it, even at this point. Remember, they had all sorts of different opinions, and it was a quad, that it was a hip flexor, that it was a hip, potential surgery, all this stuff. I'm guessing they have a better idea of it now than they did maybe 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago. I don't know. And you're right. I mean, it could be just, hey, I'm close, but I'm not close enough. I don't know. I'm just wondering if last year, if this exact injury would have happened, if Terry would have burned a hole through a brick wall to get back on the field, because, again, he knew he was coming up on a contract, and he was trying to get that big, big, big bag of cash. And quite honestly, he got some cash. He got some guarantee, but he didn't get anywhere near the guarantee he wanted or was looking for, or even the market would dictate, quite honestly.
All right. You are a friend of mine, okay?
So you think I'm full of baloney?
I think
not something else.
I think at best it's a big old reach. I just think you're wrong. I have zero, and you put the work in. Like, you know Terry, you've talked to him, you've seen what he's done. I don't find this at all credible, your theory. And like, knowing the way Dan Quinn has forced guys to stay down even when they want to play, I think it's far more the organization being careful than it is Terry's unwillingness to push. I categorically reject the theory.
You could be totally right. And let me be clear. I'm not saying unwillingness to push, but there is a difference. There could be a layer of, hey, man, I was willing to push at 90% last year. Maybe I'm not this year. You know, I got to listen to my body. I've got to put me first and not make it worse. Again, people are using this as a conspiracy theory that Terry is mad and Terry
who is people
faking an injury.
Who is people?
That's not what this is about.
But what I'll say this about this, Chris, and it's something I say about everybody. We have to be careful as radio hosts when we go out with these hypotheticals and we say we don't know. You know how many people are going to take it as facts? Because when we say it, they don't.
Yeah, which is exactly why I didn't want this to blow up the way it has. But
maybe don't say it.
I realize that, like, one. So what happened? I'll just peel back the curtain. I had this theory, and I bounced it off of Grant Paulson like a week ago, and he was like fascinated by it, and it's just blown up out of weird proportion. I said it off the air. You guys know we say things off the air that we can't exactly say on the air. I'm not doing anything illegal here.
So who said it first?
Crazy.
Who said it on air?
A controversial theory.
But who said it on air?
Well, Grant brought me on to parade me on about it, and then that led to the junkies. Or then Grant doubled down on it. Yesterday, I guess it was, and now it's the junkies, and now it's you guys, and I'm cool with that. I love all of you. I'm going to take the heat for this. Let me be clear. I love Terry McLaurin. I think if there's anybody that embodies, like, what it's like to be, you know, a commander, as Adam Peters likes to say, and all that, it's Terry McLaurin. I don't think you're doing anything wrong by listening to your body. And maybe it is the team more than Terry. I don't know. But I don't think you're doing anything wrong listening to your body and saying, hey, you know what? I used to go 110%. I'm going to dial it back now a little bit because it could lead to further injury. And it's already proven that my reliability, my dependability, my availability, it was not appreciated the way I thought it would. And again, that's where I... to this tricky slope of, you know, like, it makes it sound like Terry is I don't know.
But the way I look at it is this. I look at it like this, Chris. What if you do get older and you say, okay, I'm not going to try to push this like I did when I was younger just because you're now more mature? It's not anything to do with the money. You have to be careful.
Okay.
When you come up with a theory, if someone wants to just run with your theory to the air, you have to be in control of your theory and say, you know what? I don't want to do that. Because a lot of people will take people's theory to go to the air to perpetuate and push their narrative. Okay? You see what I'm saying? So I don't think I think ultimately anybody that try to say what they think a player is thinking when they've never been in that situation, you're losing your you're reaching for straws. You know what I mean? Like
I gotcha, and I realize how bad this kind of looks that this was my private thoughts, I guess, because I know Terry is tough as nails, right? I got it. But I also can't overlook that he made a contractual stand based on.
All right, but can I counter?
He made a contractual stand based off of what the going rate is for what receivers
and going
are.
Into
not because he played hurt.
He made a contractual stand because he didn't have guaranteed money on this year's deal. That's why he made a contractual stand. I'd also point out that after the Raiders game, there was real talk of him needing surgery. Like, he had to go to multiple doctors to get this thing checked out. If that's the case, I don't think missing two games is even remotely suggestive of a player that's considering all of his options. 2 weeks ago, the conversation was, oh, hell, does he need sports hernia surgery? You know what I mean?
I get it. And again, guys, I'm not telling you I know anything here. I'm just, you know... And maybe, again, I should have put a lid on this, and a private conversation shouldn't have essentially played out on radio. I got it. I understand. But I can't tell you that that's not what my brain thought of and has rationalized because – and the way I do it, okay, again, I'll just say this is, you know, we're all human beings, right? The brain works in mysterious ways. And I always say, like – I used to work 90 hours a week trying to cover this team and do everything and break every story. And, you know, I think I did a reasonably good job. I don't do that anymore. There's lots of reasons why I don't do that anymore, but I don't do it anymore. So maybe, like, be, like, brought up the point, as you get older, you get wiser. And maybe that's the same thing for me. Maybe that's the same thing for Terry. Maybe I went too far just trying to connect the dots between what he stood for in his contract negotiation and what the agent, what the reports mentioned about really valuing his, as to why they should pay him the money he was asking for. So maybe I took a leap that I shouldn't have taken. I'll raise my right hand and say, you know what? If that makes me a bad person, that makes me a bad person.
Lanfield, do you want to respond to Chris?
I don't think you're a bad person.
I don't think you're
Chris.
A bad person.
I'm going to just say this.
I think it's a flawed theory.
And this is one thing and JP knows. I know a lot of stuff. But if I don't know it factually, I don't report it to nobody that wants to put it on air that may benefit them. I will keep it to myself, or I will tell people that understand this is my thoughts. This is not a fact. People that want to run on the air without a fact, they're BSers, straight up.
Yeah,
be careful with that.
I got you, B. And I understand and I appreciate that. And, you know, here's one thing that I would say. I should have done a better job and controlled the narrative, if you will. And I've always said, hey, man, this is my theory, not what I know. And there is a difference. But you're right. People are going to take it, you know, whatever way they want. People are going to get mad at me, yell at me, whatever. Terry might even get mad at me. I don't know. But, you know, And I love Terry. Again, let me just be clear. But, you know, people like Lanfield are probably going to use me as a punching bag here because they want to see me suffer and they want to see me get, you know, made fun of and they want me to be the butt of controversy. And I allowed it. I allowed it. I'm sorry. You know, I'll say that. I wish it didn't blow up. I wish it would have kind of stayed private and I didn't agree to making this a public thing. It was just a theory. It was just a thought. Again, maybe it was complete bull, you know what, but it is what it is.
Landini, do you want to respond as you laugh maniacally in the aquarium?
I'm just saying the mind of Chris Russell is a terrifying place.
Well, I don't disagree with you on that, Landfill. I mean, I am scarred from working in this business and this industry and from covering this organization for 16 years. So I don't disagree with you on that.
Many people are.
Thank you, Chris.
I love
we'll see you,
guys,
you soon.
But, you know. All right.
Hey, Chris, bring some food when you come
in,
man.
Bring some food.
Since you show up when our food normally come.
I have some leftover salad and Chinese food. You want to share?
We don't want no leftovers.
Hold on.
We don't know how long your leftovers are.
Yo, if I may, real quick, stay on the line, Roos. Brendan Dar worked with us for years.
Oh, God.
Brendan Dar, known to be a pretty snarky fella.
Yeah.
Rooster, he just tweeted me this. Rooster, in a wind tunnel, complaining about traffic and his life, spouting off a conspiracy theory, then blaming Grant Paulson for it becoming public, only to back down when B-Mitch says quads are a tough recovery, is exactly how I thought this call would go.
Yeah. Yeah. Brendan Dar is, he's a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. He's just mad that, you know, like that I'm, I guess, getting some run here and that, you know, he's not. I that's the nicest thing I can say. I don't know. I mean, the bottom line is I wasn't looking for run here. I've got enough problems in my world that I don't need any extra exposure, but, you know, I'm sure the phone will be ringing from somebody over on the other side at some point as soon as they listen to some of this nonsense.
Well, I'm sure it'll be an easy day for your mentions, Roost. It's at WrestleMania 100.
621.
At WrestleMania 621.
At WrestleMania 100, yeah.
Let them know how you feel. All right, enjoy Chris the leftover salad, Chris. Good luck on the highway.
Hi, Roost.
Thank you. It's Chris Mad Dog Russo, by the way.
Goodbye. That's Chris Russell. And Brian, I don't like to speak for you, but I believe I'm willing to in this case. The B. Mitchell Finley program categorically denies Chris Russell's theory. We'll be right back.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It's kind of weird going into a weekend knowing there's no Burgundy and Gold. We just get to watch football this weekend. White Brian, what are the best college football games this weekend? I know we got Red River Rivalry, right? Texas-Oklahoma.
Yeah, Indiana's at Oregon. That's a big one.
It's funny. I was talking to Josh Connerly yesterday about that because game day is going to be in Oregon. And he's like, I know, man, big game, Indiana coming. And Cosme, whose locker's kind of next to Connerly, he's like, wait, Indiana's good now? And it is
Indiana's
bizarre.
Real good.
Yo, they're
they're good in football.
Yeah.
They've never been
basketball.
Yeah.
That's a school that's done NIL right. They just
Hell
have some cash,
yeah.
Got a good coach, and they let him spend it. That offense moves the ball.
They also stole the best cornerback in the class from last year.
He was
from Alabama, and he was supposed to go to Auburn.
Game's at 12. I need to call and see the Louisiana people. I may go to James.
Oh, yeah,
Madison.
You were talking about going to JMU,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I may have to go to that game. I may call some people right now and see.
Who's got JMU? B. Mitch needs a suite. We're putting it out there for the JMU
I don't need
people.
A suite. I just want to sit in your suite.
Right. He doesn't need his own. He needs a pair of tickets
call
in
Wynn,
a suite.
I'm going to call Wingard and see what's happening.
There you go. Bama's in a I think this Bama game is tricky as hell. They're going to Mizzou. I think Bama's favored by 3. That seems like a weird line.
Where's James Madison? What's the name of the city?
Harrisonburg, I think.
Harrisburg, right?
Harrisburg's Pennsylvania. Harrisonburg's James.
Harrisonburg.
Yeah, I believe that's correct. What's the Ohio State, Illinois, maybe?
Yeah. Ohio State's favored by 2 touchdowns.
Damn. Any other big SEC games? Texas A&M, Florida?
Yeah, Auburn gets Georgia at home, so they're only 3-point dogs.
I think put all your money on Georgia. What'd you think about that, right, Brian?
I think you're correct.
At least you're honest about your team.
Yeah, he does
they're
not.
They're a little inhaling air. You know what I mean? I mean, it's sucking.
Oh, damn, dog. Terps.
Who y'all playing?
Nebraska.
Where?
College Park. All I'm going tomorrow.
All right. If you go, did you go to the other game?
Not. I was in L.A.
Okay, good. So if you go in and win, then you got to go to more games.
I've taken my daughters to lots of games. You know me well. I like to leave early. Like,
man,
halftime.
Don't leave early. Just let the kids watch the whole damn game.
Ainsley is adamant that we're staying the whole game.
Well, you're not leaving.
You think we'll stay the whole game?
Hell yeah. Because if you try to leave, she's going to cause a ruckus, and you won't be able to handle it. So if Ainsley wants to stay, we're staying.
Shout out to my boy Matt Swope. We will be. We're not worried about the weather where we're sitting, so we'll be good. You need a Swope down at JMU to set you up in a suite for Cajuns, Dukes, NFL Sunday. It's you get to just chill and watch Red Zone, be with your family. You don't have to commit your day to a Commanders game. Some good games. There's an early game. The Broncos are playing the Jets in London. The Rams are traveling to Baltimore. The Ravens are just complete desperation mode. I got one for you.
What do you got?
Oh, the Roost. The building.
Y'all in a blue shirt.
I kind of like.
We need the Roost. Roost, give me your size, bro. We'll hook you up with a collars and coke. That's a floppy collar right there.
Use the code JPFinley20. Yeah.
I'm going to hook you up with a Collars and Coach Turk because that's floppy right there.
Collars and Coach gear is too fresh to be on Roost.
Frankly. Now, Roost needs to wear one. Roost, they'd be like, wow. He'll look totally different.
He would. Change his whole latitude.
I can hook him up.
I like the Panthers getting 3.5 at home against the Cowboys.
The Panthers against the Cowboys at home. I don't know.
Best game Sunday, I think, is going to be Bucks-Niners. That looks really good. Sunday Night Football should be really good, too. You got the Chiefs hosting the Lions. When we return, you'll hear from Maryland Governor Wes Moore making his weekly picks. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley. Trying to consume. All right. Only one man cool enough to walk up to Nate Dogg and Warren G. Mr. Warren G., very excited to have the governor of Maryland join us right now, Mr. Wes Moore. Gov, how you doing?
Man, we damn good, too.
Gov, we have a lot of football to get to, but I don't. You're a busy man. I don't know if you got to watch Eagles-Giants last night, but the Eagles look messy, man. What do you think of Philly?
So here's the issue. First of all, Dart is playing like this dude belongs in the league. I mean, like he's really putting up playing some good football. But importantly, I think you're right to start with the Eagles. The thing I was impressed by the Eagles at the start of the season was that they just know how to win close games, right? I mean, like that's what champions do. Champions know how to win close games. But nobody has ever said all year that the Eagles look good. They know how to win close games. And I think that's a different thing. And I think that actually starts to show itself. And I think that we're starting to see that now, that the Eagles have not really played great football. They play good football, but they know how to win when it's tight. And so, I mean, like, I think we're just seeing for these past couple of weeks that the Eagles are a good football team. The question becomes for the Eagles is, can they do what they did last year, which is when it really matters and when you get it to playoff football, can they really kick it in? And I don't think anyone has an answer to that right now.
It's going to be interesting to watch. All right. As much fun as it is to thrive in the Eagles' misery, things aren't going great for your Ravens, sir.
Oh, Lord. It's bad. And this week is going to get no better. And you know, and the thing that I'm actually most concerned about is you know, we have the best roster, and I still stand by this. It's on paper, it's the best roster in all of football. And I would actually debate with anybody about how close it even is when you look at on paper what's going on. the thing that does get me is, yes, there's a lot of injuries, and I know there's a lot of Ravens fans like injuries. And the thing that I would just say back to that, guys, it's football. There are injuries. People get hurt.
All the time.
This is a next man up league. All the time. This is a next man up league. And so I just, the thing that I just don't know, and I don't even answer right now is, you know, we should be able to play through injuries. My question is, can we coach through injuries? Or, you know, do the coaches have the right type of philosophy? Do the coaches have the right type of mindset and game plan? Do the coaches still have the locker room? And that's, I think, the big test for the Ravens right now.
We're going to find out because they got the Rams coming to town, sir. And the Rams are a pretty good team. You know, you're talking Stafford, Puka, Davante Adams. How do you feel about that Ravens-Rams game? We'll start there.
Yeah, no, I don't feel good. And so I will be there on Sunday, but I'm expecting to watch the Rams win.
Okay.
You know, I think that we, you know, not only does it look like Lamar's not playing, and, you know, that is already, when you're watching the most dynamic player in the NFL who's not going to be, who's not suited up for you, that obviously hurts. But the thing I'm most concerned about is the Ravens' defense. Is the Rams have actually a good offense. I mean, you know, you mentioned, you talk about Puka, you know, he's coming up on you know, what, 600 yards, averaging like 11 yards a catch. And our secondary has not been able to stop average offenses. So I don't know how you're going to stop one that's actually looking really good. So,
yeah.
In fact, I saw a stat which is crazy. Our defense has let up more points so far this year than like the 2000 team let up all year.
Dang.
It's crazy what our defense is letting up right now. So I got a feeling that this is, you know, I'm not going in on Sunday. I won't be at the bank on Sunday expecting for it to go well for us.
Yeah. Do you think it's a simple fix for the defense? I mean, they're blaming Zach, but the players aren't making plays either.
Yeah, no, listen, and I think it's easy just to say, well, it's the defensive coordinator. And listen, you're absolutely right, where it's like, if you said, okay, let's get another defensive coordinator in, is that going to make it any better? I don't know. The problem that I do have, though, is that, again, on paper, it's a very good defense. I mean, you have a defense that's anchored by people like Kyle Hamilton and Roquan Smith and this and that. And so, yes, we've had the injury bugs, but that is a really damn good defense. And we should not be giving up 30 and 40 points a game when you're looking at the roster that we have.
Yeah, yeah, it's been ugly. Gov, quick aside here. Will you be in College Park tomorrow? I'm going with the fam.
No, I'm not, unfortunately.
Okay. All good.
I'm not. We have a couple other things we got to run to, but
you're a busy man.
That game last week. God, that was a damn bruiser, man.
Yeah,
that was hard to watch that second half.
That's a tough one to lose. All right, so
that was a tough one to lose because you know I still think that this is a team that if we can do what we need to do, we're still gonna we should hit a decent bowl because I think we're showing real signs of improvement. And let's be clear, the biggest thing we got to do is make sure that we get Malik Washington back next year.
But he's
a real player.
How many residents in the state of Maryland? Got to be millions, right?
Oh yeah, about 6.5 of us.
All right, I mean this sincerely. I am willing to pledge as a Maryland taxpayer $1. If everybody in Maryland pays $1, we'll keep Malik.
So I think it may take more than $1 per person.
I don't know how government works, but that's my proposal.
Listen, I don't know what he's going to be demanding, but let's be clear. We have one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the country under center right now.
Yeah,
and
he's a real deal.
I know it's not only us who's paying attention to that.
And Maryland got screwed when the kid Stewart got ejected in the first half. Anyway, all right.
Of course.
I got you in the books. I got you in the books for Rams over the Ravens. I know that you don't like making that pick, but it's hard not to. Let's go down to Florida. You've got 2-4-1 teams between Tampa and San Fran. Tampa's been getting it done at the last second. Baker's been really good. The Niners are held together by scotch tape and chewing gum, but they just keep winning games. What do you like, Bucks Niners?
You know, it's funny because, the Niners did their thing last week, and the Niners actually, you know, they actually looked okay. I mean, you know, the only thing is that I just think that the Bucks are doing a better job of playing consistent football. Even in the games that the Bucks haven't won, they haven't lost really ugly. Like, they still are showing that they're, you know, they're a fun and a good team to watch. And I think that they, and again, you know, their quarterback play has been real. I think, you know, Mayfield is legitimately showing that he should be in the MVP conversation. And so I think this one is going to the Bucks. I think they pull this one off, even though I do have to say, you know, again, the Niners showed me something last week.
They did. And Mac Jones has been good, which is a weird sentence to say, but he has been good.
He has been good.
All right, let's switch to Sunday Night Football. This one should be good. The Vegas line in this thing is funky, I think. Detroit heading to Arrowhead to take on the Chiefs. Lions have been great. Chiefs have been up and down at best. And yet the Chiefs are favored by 2.5. What do you think of Lions-Chiefs?
I don't understand the line on this. I mean, I really don't understand the line of, because let's be clear. I mean, the Chiefs have had the Chiefs have had kind of one impressive win this year, honestly. Like, I mean, when you really watch, you're like, oh, they look like the Chiefs of old. And honestly, that was against the Ravens. So you got to take that for what it's worth, because the Ravens are probably the most disappointing team in the NFL right now, just to be honest. So I'm going with the Lions on this. I think that we, you know, Mahomes is still the Chiefs' leading rusher. I like, you can't think that this is a complete team when Patrick Mahomes is your leading rusher. And I think they desperately, you know, need Rashee Rice, who is, you know, still, you know, serving the last game on suspension. And so it's like, I don't know. I feel like the Lions are still legitimately a top, call it 5-7 team in the NFL right now. I think Jared Goff is legitimately playing well, and then you got Gibbs back there. So I think when you look at the offense that the Lions bring, I just don't see how the Chiefs are able to stop it. So I'm gonna go against the Vegas odds on this. I'm going with the Lions.
All right, I like it. I kind of like Detroit going in there the way they run the football, man. All right, we got a doubleheader Monday night. I'll start with the one in Atlanta. Buffalo Bills heading to Atlanta to play the Falcons. Buffalo coming off that pretty surprising loss at home to the Pats.
Yeah.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I still think I'm not a believer in the Falcons. I still don't think they're consistent. I think Penix is he's probably the answer for QB and in Atlanta, but I'm not sure if I think that's the answer that's gonna really, you know, take you very far. And I still do. I think you're right. You're right about the Bills loss. That was really bad. But I still think the Bills are you know, arguably the best team in the AFC, just the most complete team. I'm playing some of the most complete football in the AFC. So I'm going with the Bills. I'm going with the Bills on this. I just don't think there's any section of Atlanta that's better than the Bills, and I think the talent is going to matter in this game.
I it's hard to go the other way on that one, frankly. All right, and then are you going to be able to go Monday night?
I will be there Monday night.
Okay, awesome.
I will be there Monday night.
So will we.
Watching the Commanders beat the Bears.
I think the atmosphere for this thing could be pretty damn awesome. Team Source just told me the game is sold out. The team is wearing their black uniforms. I asked Debo Samuel about them yesterday. He said, they tough. The team is asking all the fans to wear black. They want it to look like a blackout in there. I think it could be pretty cool. Obviously, there's a lot of, like, interesting history and ties from Chicago and Washington, and then last year with the Hail Mary. What do you like, Commanders, Bears, Monday Night Football?
I definitely like the Commanders on this one. I mean, the Commanders, like, I actually thought the most impressive win last week was the Commanders in all of football. I think, you know, when you watch Jaden come back, and the first series was tough, and you watch how, you know, they get scored on in the first, I think it was the first series, right? The Rams scored. But then after that, it was just like everything calmed down. And you just watch the poise, man, that Jaden plays with. I thought that was the most impressive win. The Commanders win last week was the most impressive win in all of football last week, because I think it said something, because they went on the road against a good team and handled them. And so I think that the Commanders are playing really good football right now. I mean, I think that, you know, what's going to be fun is kind of seeing, you know, watching that kind of, you know, a bit of the homecoming that we have for in a bit for what you're seeing for the Bears and their quarterback issues that I don't think are still sorted out. But I just think the Commanders are just playing really, really good football right now. The Bears are allowing the 10th most rushing yards in the NFL. I think that the Commanders take this one.
It's going to be fun, man. I am looking forward to it. A lot of excitement for this Commanders team. You know, if they win Monday night, they'll be tied with the Eagles for first place in the division.
That feels about right, actually. But honestly, it's what we – remember, at the beginning of the season, and granted, it's still early, don't get me wrong, but we talked about it, where I said, you know, like, I think the biggest threat to the Eagles is going to be the Commanders. And so this actually feels about right. And I don't think that I think the Eagles, as I mentioned before – they're a good team. They're not a great team right now, but I think that the Commanders are playing some of the best football that that we are seeing in the NFC. So I think you know, knowing that it's you know, it's Commanders Eagles kind of fighting for the top of the division, that probably actually feels about right.
It's going to be fun, Gov. We will see you Monday night in Landover, sir. I hope you have a great weekend. Looks like some big rains could be headed to town, so bring your raincoat.
Yeah, it'd be some big rain. That should impact some of these games, some of these scores. But listen, the thing I love about football is rain, sleet, snow. Put your cleats on.
Absolutely. There you go. Hey, there you go. Gov, last one, and I don't know if you got a chance to watch this. Did you see how the Phillies lost last night to the Dodgers?
Yo. Yo.
That's brutal, dude. Hey, I think that that pitcher needs a detail. Oh, a security detail.
Get him out of Philadelphia alive.
I have noticed for all my friends who are Philly fans, I haven't heard from not one of them today.
Yeah,
not one of them. I need to do a check. On them. I need
check.
To do a buddy check on a few of them.
I think you do, Gov. I'm looking forward to seeing you Monday, sir. Enjoy your weekend.
Absolutely, guys. Thank y'all so much.
Man. All right, take care.
All right, that's the great Wes Moore. Governor of the state of Maryland. He likes the Bucks to beat the Niners, the Lions to beat the Chiefs, the Rams to beat the Ravens, the Bills to beat the Falcons, and the Commanders to beat the Bears. How about this? He's got 3 road wins this week. Keep an eye on that. Always appreciate the governor making time for us, and we'll see him Monday night at Northwest Stadium. Here's what we're going to do. When we return, the phone lines are open. Press the button, intern John. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. It is Ask B. Mitch Anything, brought to you by Collars & Co. Let's go.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.